I shared the other, I don't remember when it was, I shared that there was, when I was at home, I spent a few days with our family in Virginia. While I was there and I was spending time reading the Bible, the Lord showed me this thing that the kingdom of God is like the tiniest, but that a man too can bury it in his field. And then it grew and became a tree with many branches, and the birds of the air made their nests on it. In other words, there are things that God says to you when you come to a meeting like this. It might be something really little. It might be a small word that you hear. Jesus said that the seed is the word, that the person who is going and scattering the seed is scattering the word. If that small seed, you take it, and say the field represents the heart of the hearts of men, you can take that small word and put it in your heart. And you hear a small truth and you take hold of it and you bury it in your heart. And you say, God, I'm going to keep that word and I'm going to work on it until it comes to pass. It will come forth, it will spring up, it will bear fruit in your life more than you expected, with many branches. That is, things that you didn't even expect will start happening. Many good things will come off and branch off of it, because you took that tiny little word and you kept it. It's amazing. There were some of these fishermen that only heard, "Follow me." That was a tiny word they heard, but they acted on it and obeyed it, and it changed their lives, and it changed the lives of many other people. The passage is in Luke. In the same passage, Jesus says that, you know, there is also the kingdom of God is also like the small amount of yeast which a woman put in a small amount of dough until it worked through the whole thing. And that's also the reverse. A tiny little sin in your life, a tiny little bad thing that you allow to stay in your life, will go through and spread out and begin to inflate your whole life and turn you into a hypocrite. Someone who has fake volume. So, take these. Don't neglect the things that the Lord tells you. Take that small word that you hear and say, God, I want at least this tiny truth to become truth to me. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm going to talk about today's found in Genesis. We'll go back on talking about faith the coming days. But today I want us to look at Genesis chapter 11. From verse 1. If you find it, Genesis, the 11th chapter, from verse 1. I'll read it. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They use bricks instead of stone and tar instead of for mortar. Then they say, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that's true and alive and living. Lord, we pray that you will make it real to us, that you will cause it to speak deeply to us. Cause it to speak deeply to us, O Lord. Open our eyes, O Lord, to these simple truths, O Lord, that you have for us in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Bible says that the whole world had one language. Everybody was together. And there was some sort of unity. There was some sort of getting together. And they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. Now, whenever people say, you look at this thing and it looks good. Everybody's together and everybody's trying to work for each other's well-being, and everybody's trying to, there's one world, and there's unity, and there's all these things. Apparently, they also had one religion. Then they had a common speech, not just the same language. They didn't just speak the same words, but they actually had the same speech. That is, they were all talking the same thing. They all had a common purpose. Now, it looks good when you first look at it. It looks great. It looks like a lot of people who are trying to do what's best for them. But it wasn't good. It wasn't good. You know why? What did they do with this unity? They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches the heaven, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the whole earth. The goal of it was to build a city for themselves and to make a name for themselves. To make a name for themselves. And whenever I always get suspicious when people say, come, let's get together. Why don't everybody just join all together and let's be one big happy world family type of thing? You should ask yourself, who's the center of it? Men or God? Unity without Jesus is not real unity. Love without Jesus is not real love. Fellowship without God is not true fellowship. There is only one person who can bring people together. We're going to see that later. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't, without Christ, you can't have human beings, the fallen human being, the sinful human being, is naturally so selfish. You cannot put them together without God being in the center and it not being somewhat self-centered. Natural love doesn't work. If you have, it is not the love of the human flesh. It is not the love that a person, the carnal love that is birthed out of the human soul, that keeps a family together. If you put family, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins together, keep them in one house, leave them there long enough, there will be strife. There will be people fighting each other, provoking each other, making each other angry. Problems happen that split families. That make people tired of the other. That makes people start pointing the finger. It was your fault. It was her fault. It was his fault. They all, if you ask them, yeah, we're all trying to make the best for our family. But no, when you put them together, you find out, I know, self is there. Each one of those person is trying to be God. He's trying to have the world rotate around them. That changes only when Jesus Christ comes into a person's heart. Even husbands and wives. Now, I'm not married, but I've observed the people who have the best marriages are those who have died the most to self and have allowed Jesus Christ to be Lord of their lives. Now, those people are rare to find. Therefore, good marriages are rare to find. It's not, of course, everybody comes to church. I was with some Christians not long ago. And there were about three of them. They all were married people. Men and two women. And I told them that, how is it really? Is it like, you know, I'm not talking about the time when people come to church. Because in church everybody acts holy and loving, especially those of us who have been in church for so long, right? We know when to say hallelujah and when to say amen, when to raise the hand and when to put it down, when to stand up and when to sit down. And ask them honestly how it is. Is it really? It was interesting. It is those that have come to surrender to Jesus Christ that can truly love. The flesh gets tired very quickly. The flesh gets tired very quickly. When it's birthed out of flesh, when it's birthed out of carnality, won't last too long. The coming together of people, the unity, the fellowship can only come through Jesus Christ. And any group that God has not truly brought together, anything that God, any group of people that God has not brought together and that God is not keeping together, is doomed to turn into hell. Any groups of people that God has not brought together and that God is not keeping together is going to degenerate. Now, these people say, come, let's build for ourselves a city, a tower that reaches the heavens, that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the whole earth. Now, the Bible said that the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Bible said, God said, come, let's go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. God came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. God paid these people a visit and he started looking around and he saw this tower. Now, they were building a city, but in particular, the Bible draws our attention to the fact that they were trying to build a tower that reaches to the heavens. Now, that's a pretty huge project. I don't think anybody has quite done that yet, but if you look at any of our large cities, Boston, New York, you see that a few people have tried to do things that are a bit similar. Now, those are nice buildings and there's nothing wrong to them. But then do we look at those things and do they become the symbol of our pride? And say, this is what we've built for ourselves and that have made a name for ourselves. I heard a television commentator after 9/11 when the plane struck the towers and they fell. One commentator, not a Christian, said, do you realize in 1 hour our symbols of power and prosperity have just come down in 1 hour? And he didn't know he was quoting straight from Revelation. Babylon, in 1 hour, your fall has come. In 1 hour. Now, it wasn't just that they were taking physical pride out of this thing. What this really means, these people were trying to make a righteousness of their own. They were trying to reach heaven, reach God by their own works. They were saying, let's do something good for each other. Let's do something good that reaches heaven. And that's why you hear nowadays, it's you don't really need Jesus. You don't really need just be a good person and try to do the things that God agrees with. And it's building a tower for yourself. It's trying to reach God through your own works. And it doesn't lead anybody anywhere. You can, because you have people. I lived for a long time with a group of people who are not Christians for 4 years, and I observed them. And you'd see people trying to go and trying to do community service here, trying to do some good thing here, trying to go build a house over here, try to do this one thing over here, try to do some good works. But deep in their hearts, they were all selfish and everybody was looking for his own self. And I saw them how they treated the people in their own lives. How they treated the girls that were coming after them or the girls that they were going after. And if you're not nice to them, how can you pretend to go and be nice to the homeless person over there and feed him? There are all sorts of ways that human beings can cover up their self-centeredness by trying so hard to do good things. But it turns into a selfish tower that you built for yourself. And God came down and scattered them. The Bible says, confused their language, destroyed their tower. Well, he just confused their language so that they could not build anymore. God does not accept anything that he did not start. God does not accept anything that he was not the center of. You can start doing all sorts of good things, but if the center of it was not the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, every plant that my Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Every project, everything in your life that you're doing that is not of God, that is man-made, that is self-created, God will come down to scatter it. Are you trying to be holy by going to church, by praying, by doing this thing? But that's not going to work either. God accepts one thing. He accepts Jesus Christ and nothing in addition to Him. God accepts only one degree of righteousness. It's the righteousness that Jesus Christ showed on the cross. If you're not covered by that holiness, God will reject it. He will point out at the lie. He will point out at the selfishness that you committed over there. If you think you're a good person, these people were not bad people. They were just people trying to accomplish. Today we'll say, we're just trying to accomplish the American dream. We're just trying to get a house and we're trying to... But really when you translate it, it's let's build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches heaven, that we may make a name for ourselves, not for the Lord. Not be scattered over the face of the earth. This is the language we speak in America. And we're encouraged to speak and think like that. We're the center. We're the people. Let's try to make everything work for me. Let me try to make things work for myself and for my family and for this and for that. And we end up building so many towers in our lives. Projects and things that God never sent us into. And then God comes and confuses the language. And so from this time, this person was talking to this guy, hey, the brick over there. The other person tells him, they say, what? What are you saying? No, that brick there. No, what? This person is trying to say, hey, flee from there. That brick is going to fall on you. He say, hey, why is that guy insulting me? Sounds like he's insulting me. They could not understand each other anymore. He said this. He thought that. She said this. He thought something else. The whole communication problem started here at Babel. From this day, from since this time, people don't understand each other anymore. Their language got scattered, and you have a few people in a place. Like we have people in Africa, you have one tiny country, so many dialects and so many languages. If these ones are speaking, you can understand. That other one is speaking, you can't get what they're saying. But it wasn't just the language. From this time on, people don't understand each other anymore. You began to have different cultures, clashes of cultures, clashes of races. You started having the racism problem because human beings could not understand each other anymore. It was the result of the rebellion of men. That tower that they were building was a symbol of rebellion against God. And today we have so many of our symbols of pride and rebellion against God all over our lives. Now, building a tower per se is not a bad thing. God did ask some people to build towers. The problem is whether you're building it for yourself and to make a name for yourself, whether God started it or not. There are some people for whom their diploma is their tower. They put it there and they get so much pride looking and staring at that thing, and they put it up in their office. But when I got out of high school, I used to think, maybe when I get my own house, I'll take a wall and just post all those things I got. They probably will fill about a quarter of a wall. Used to keep them all in a box about this big. All sorts of plaques and with your name on it. All sorts of certificates. The question is, do you stare at those things and say, hey, what an accomplishment. And it is because of that selfishness, because of that desire for everybody to have their own tower, it's because of that that people don't understand each other anymore. When you're in a place, or when you have people who are in constant strife, tells you that somewhere each one of them is still trying to be their own God. They're still selfish. And where that is not the case, then you have harmony. But in any case, you wonder why people have tried so hard for many years, for centuries, people have tried to get people to come together. After the Second World War, we started the United Nations, thinking that that will solve the problems of people. Everybody will get together and will be one big happy world. Oh, but then the people got together and then the selfishness began. Well, who's going to control the UN really? Well, we're going to have this group of five people. They get to say more things than other people. But then, okay, well, we're going to rotate. We're going to put one person who rotates every now and then, and we're going to switch that. And then you get then these people who want to pass their agenda, and they go to all these other people and they pay them money and they say, hey, you guys, we're going to pass this resolution against this other country. Will you guys join us and sign it? And they get all the representatives of this to rally against them. And so the human selfishness just found another way to come out. And everybody blames the other person. I was somewhere with someone of a particular ethnicity, and she was telling me about these other people who make fun of her ethnicity. And she said, yeah, these people, they mock us a lot. I say, hey, you mock them too, right? And she stopped and said, yeah, that's actually true. I mock them too. And then I say, well, then if you mock them and they mock you too, then that's the same thing. Why complain about them? It's just that so often we focus on what the other person is doing to us that's bad. And I told the person, and we're talking to someone else here, and we're telling him that, you know, racism, everybody commits it. I told this person, if you had a store, you probably would hire people of your own kind. And you probably would have people, you know, your friends come and work there, wouldn't you? And then the person, somebody said, well, but if everybody could have their own store, then that will be good. I say, well, then if you did that, then the human selfishness will just find another way to manifest itself. Then you'll get these people who know that, oh, that store is owned by the person of my kind. So I'm going to go buy from there. And so this one will have more customers. This other one will not. Or if the both store owners went to a merchant to buy a lot of merchandise and the merchandise was in limited supply, then the person selling it will prefer to sell it to the person who is of his own kind so he can supply his store. Some way, one way or the other, the human selfishness will come out. And that's why people have tried so hard. Making laws, passing things. You can make a law and make it illegal and say it's not legal for you to discriminate in this kind of way. But then people will find another way to still do that. At the very least, they'll look at you and say, ooh, that person doesn't look like me. And there's no law you can pass to prevent that. You can make... I was listening to, I actually watched Martin Luther King Jr. appeared on a program in 1967. And they asked him about the segregation in churches. He said, yeah, I say it's probably the greatest shame of our country that Sunday morning is one of the most, if not the most segregated time in America. Because everybody is going to church where the people of their own kinds are. And if you went right now and you started walking around and saw people coming out of churches, you see a bunch of white people coming out to this place. Drive down a little, then you see a bunch of black people coming out this way. Then you walk, drive down a little, then you see a bunch of Asian people coming out. Then you walk down, then you see Hispanic people coming out. And they all were there. And if you ask them, what were you doing? Oh, we were worshiping Jesus Christ. And you ask this other person, what were you doing? Oh, we were worshiping Jesus Christ. And you ask them this group, what were you doing? We were worshiping Jesus Christ. And you ask the last group, what were you doing? We were worshiping Jesus Christ too. I think if Jesus Christ came and he walked around, he will be more grieved by that than by the bars and the nightclubs. Because at least the people there don't try to pretend that they are called by his name. It always amazes me when it's time for football and you look at the stadium, you see everybody. You see, look at the stadium at the strand, the people sitting there and cheering, you see everybody. But you come to church, no. You see one person here, one person over there, one person over there. Now, my claim is that most of those people are not converted. That's why they act like that. I've said this before and some people told me that was crazy to say, but I think that's what it is. You switch over to the New Testament in Acts chapter 2. That's where we'll... And Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. I will read it. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. They were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violin wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Persia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" When the Holy Spirit came down, people understood each other. The reverse of what happened, instead of people being scattered, people ran to the place where the Holy Spirit was. You want to bring people together. You want people to come together and understand each other. Let the Holy Spirit come down and take control. And you'll see things change. Let the Holy Spirit come down and begin to do His work among people. And you'll see people of all kinds flocking to that place. They could all understand this man now. There were people here from Africa, from Europe, from the Middle East, from Asia. And they all were gathering to hear these people talk. Now, what were they saying? They were not trying to make a name for themselves. They say, we hear them saying what? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. And then Peter got up and spoke to them and told them the problem was sin and that Jesus Christ was the answer. In verse 36, Peter is concluding his speech to them. He said, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostle, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins." Sin is the problem. Sin was the problem then, and it's the problem. Now, he told them, "Repent and be baptized. Make Jesus Lord of your life." When you have people, none of them are trying to build a tower for themselves. All of them are just trying to worship Jesus Christ and to make it Lord. Then you have for yourself a place that's a heaven on earth. And the early church was like this. You had all sorts of people that came together. I said earlier, when you have people who still are bitter, angry with people of other races, of other kinds, etc., somewhere the heart has not yet been converted. When a person is truly saved, becomes a Christian, they know, the person knows in his heart, "I'm a child of God." That becomes their number one identity. If you ask me what I think of myself, describe how I describe myself in my own head. I'll not tell you I think of myself as a black man living in Cambridge. I'll tell you I think of myself, and neither will I say to you, I think of myself as an MIT student who's going to succeed in the world. I don't think of myself as I am this tall person. Now, all those things are true about me, and I know they're true. And they're good things, all of them. But the primary thing that I think of myself, and which supersedes by far all of those things, I think of myself, I'm a child of God. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. That's what God thinks about me. That's primarily what the devil thinks about me also, by the way. That's what I think of myself also. When a person is truly saved and converted, they know in their hearts, I'm a child of God. And they naturally seek the fellowship and the company of people who also have believed in Jesus Christ and have sold out to Him. Your friends tell you who you are. The kind of people that you are drawn to tells you who you really are. And if what draws you to people is some carnal attribute, well, they all look like my race, then it means that you're still a very carnal person. If it's that you see, no, I can see Jesus, and let me tell you that that's also what I, when I meet people, I don't think of themselves like this is a, I say that God is my witness. This is not me giving you theory. When I meet people, I don't say, oh, this is an Asian man, or this is a white man, this is a black woman. I meet the people's spirit. I try to meet the person who's inside the body. That's the real person. That's the one that I'll live for eternity. And it's not like I sit there and I ask. It just works out, quote-unquote, naturally, but it's really spiritually, but naturally in that I don't make an effort for it. When I do meet people, I meet their character, who they are, what they're inside. And that determines how I behave towards them. That determines how I pray for them. Of course, I don't ignore the other stuff. If the person is hungry, of course, I'll try to give him food or something. Or if the person is a good, is intelligent or something, I do notice those things. But that does not in no way override the spiritual and the other parts. Paul says that therefore we no longer look at any person from a worldly point of view, because at some point we regarded Christ that way. People crucified Jesus Christ because they looked at Him, this man from Nazareth, born in a town of nothing, grew up in a village. What does He have to come and tell us? We're people who were born in prestige and we know the law and so on, and that's why they crucified Him. They looked at Him from a worldly, and they missed God in their midst. Maybe there are people that God did send into your life, but you distance yourself from them based on some carnal judgment that you made over them. It should not be so in our midst. Let Jesus reign here, and my prayer is that that God sends to us people who are hungry for God. And I know that's why you're here. You're here because you're hungry for Jesus. And I pray that it continues to be that way, so that it doesn't turn into nobody comes here because they know they'll hear white music or black music, or they'll find some other kind of a social club. I praise that God will send people who are hungry for God, and those will be anybody of any kind. Okay. And I want to finish by thanking the Lord that indeed it has been so. That we haven't here, we haven't been a place for it hasn't been a place of racial divides. It's been a place where those barriers are broken and where people, as you can see here, of different kind get together and have a good time. And we should pray that it continues to be so, and that there won't be the selfishness, the self-centered, and the carnality, the immaturity that causes those sorts of things to become a problem. But above all, I want to ask you, for those of you here, I want to ask, what is it that you're building? What's the tower in your life? What's the project that you're into? That really God is not the center of, and that is self-motivated. How are you trying to make a name for yourself? Jesus said, every plant that my Father has not planted will be pulled out by the roots. Are you making your own plans for your eternal safety, your eternal security? Or have you come under the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you come under that righteousness that only that righteousness that God accepts, which is Jesus Christ? Are you still trying to do some good things here and there to make yourself a good person so God will accept you? Are you telling yourself that, oh, I don't really believe what the Bible says? There are some people who say that, I don't really believe what, there's no God. That's their tower that they're building. On Judgment Day, they'll be speechless. And that whole lie that they set up and built for themselves will be utterly crushed. And for eternity, they'll regret it. Have you settled in your heart that Jesus Christ must take you to heaven through His blood? Or are you still counting on your own works? Or are you following Jesus, but are you also building a tower that He hasn't sent you to build? Those are questions that are very important that everyone must answer, and that I hope we take time to. That you take time to think about. Now, usually these questions are not, people know what the things are. Whatever that thing is that you're building, surrender it to the Lord and say, Lord, this has been my own thing. I know a pastor who had a huge church, 3,200 people in it. But he didn't know God. He told me he didn't know God. He said, after a long time of being a pastor, getting a degree in seminary, he said, is God really real? Is God really real? And he started to pray. So the first time he could not even pray 15 minutes. Say, I was a pastor, but I could not pray. I didn't know how to pray. But he kept praying and praying for a year. Or about a year and a half. He told me anywhere from an hour to 8 hours a day. Then God began to speak to him and he told him, you know what he told him? He said, close down this church. This is the church you started. It's not mine, it's your own. So this is the church you started with your own cunning and your own charisma. They closed the church down. Everybody thought they were crazy. It was their Tower of Babel that they had begun. Even a church can be a tower. And now God called him. Now it's been about 20 years since then. God's called him now to start a church. I was there about 2 weeks ago. I preached there. It's a small church. Not many people. Oh, but God is there. I told them before I spoke, I said, I never enter in this place casually. Because I know when I come in here, I'm coming into the presence of God. And there's not one time when I've gone there where that wasn't clear and obvious. Not once. Very simple church. They don't even have a band. Well, they don't even have musical instruments and stuff. But God is there. It's better than the 3,200 people that were in the other place. What I'm trying to say is that whether the thing be religious or not, whether it be carnal or not, you have to make sure, is this what God has sent me to do? Is this consistent with the Bible? Praise the Lord. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. Lord, you know our lives and you know the things that you know the things, Lord, that apply. You know what if we've been in our relationship with people so selfish, so self-centered that we can't understand the others and the others can't understand us. Lord, you know what is it that we're doing in our lives that's not of you. What are the projects and the things that we're doing that are apparently good or neutral, but are really we're doing for our own selfishness and our own glory. Lord, convict us of those. Help us to lay them down, to repent. Lord, we pray that you will be Lord in our lives, that Jesus Christ will be exalted, that He be the center, that whether we work, study, sleep, do whatever we do, that we'll do it to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in His name. Amen.